لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن استنى بسنته ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. We'd like to continue inshallah جل جلاله with this noble book الأدب المفرد by Imam البخاري رحمه الله. We'd like to continue with this section on التثاؤب والعطاس, the adab of it, the etiquette of yawning and sneezing. We'd like to finish up with the sneezing then continue inshallah this evening with yawning. The next hadith that Imam al-Bukhari brings is the next section which he brings is the section the bab إذا عطس مرارا. What happens when the person sneezes continually? عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه. In this hadith, the full chain of this hadith is حدثنا أبو الوليد قال حدثنا عكرمة بن عمار قال حدثني إياس بن سلمة قال حدثني أبي قال كنت عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فعطس رجل فقال يرحمك الله ثم عطس أخرى فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هذا مذكور. It seems as though this particular hadith is on the authority of Iyas ibn Salma's son. It seems as though that this very first hadith that comes in this section, when the person sneezes repeatedly, is not authentic, because our Shaykh Nasruddin al-Albani, Hafizahullah, he doesn't include it in his Sahih. And the hadith says that I was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and a man sneezed, and then he said Yarhamakallah. Then he sneezed more time, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said Hadha mazkum, means that he has a head cold. It seems as though it seems as though this hadith is not authentic, because the Shaykh doesn't bring it, he doesn't include it in his Sahih Al-Adab Al-Mufrad. So we'll move on to the next one, which is the full chain of it is حَدَّثَنَا قُتَيْبَةَ قَالْ حَدَّثَنَا سُفْيَانَ عَنَ بْنِ عَجْلَانَ عَنَ الْمَقْبَرِ عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رضي الله عنهم أجمعين قال شمته واحدة واثنتين وثنتين وثلاثة فما كان بعد هذا فهو زكام فهو زكام. This hadith says that Abu Huraira رضي الله تعالى عنه said reply to him or make the tashmid to him once وثنتين twice وثلاثة three times. And that which is after that, anything that which is after that, then it is zukkam, meaning that he has a cold. That he has a cold. There's some other narrations like Ibn al-Hajr al-Asqalani, the commentator of al-Bukhari's hadith, in his commentary Fath al-Bari, he brings another narration that says shammithu, shammithu, which is the same as this one. And also, excuse me, yushammituhu, yushammituhu, which is in the mudari, which is in the executive. indicative. Verb is in the indicative or the present tense. As opposed to the one that's above, it's a shemitzu, which is the noun. Excuse me, the verb of command. It's the verb of command. Shemitzu is the verb of command. And Ibn al-Hajr al-Asqalani al-Hafiz, he brings a narration that says, yushammituhu, which is the verb in the present tense. And Abu Dawood brings an expression, the wording in his the hadith that he collected is, tashammit akhaka. Tashammit akhaka, which is the verb of command, but then the word your brother is added to it. So Abu Dawood's version, Prophet's hadith of Allah alayhi wa sallam, says, make the reply to your brother. So in other words, there are three different wordings. One, shammithu, which is a verb of command, meaning make the tashmeet to him. And then the one that Ibn al-Hajr al-Asqalani brings, yushammithu, which is you should make the tashmeet to him. If he does do it once, maybe once or twice or three times. And then Abu Dawood's narration says, Tashammit akhaka. Tashammit akhaka. Which means the verb of command, and the word brother is the maf'ul bihi, which is the direct object, and then the kaf at the end is the damir muttasil, which is the attached pronoun. And here it is the mudaf ilayhi. It's mudafun akha, and the kaf is mudafun ilayhi akhaka. Tashammit akhaka. This is only once again for the brothers who are studying Arabic who have yet to reach the point of al-idafa construction. In this particular hadith, we have Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu demonstrating to us from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of what he learned from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, if the person sneezes, then you should reply to him with the tashmeet, whatever the tashmeet that you want to use that we learned the other night, whatever tashmeet you want to use, if he sneezes once. In other words, if the person sneezes, achoo, you have the option, you should reply to him. And then if he sneezes a second time, then you reply to him. And then if he sneezes a third time, then you reply to him. As for the hadith that says you reply to him if you want to or not, you reply to him if you want to or not, this narration is not authentic. No, in other words, if he goes beyond three sneezes, there's another narration that says that you can reply to him if you want. If you want to reply to him or not. And this narration is not authentic. Yeah, this is already known from the class we had the other night. Yeah, if we went through the response. The person, what is the person supposed to say? And what what the person says to him, and there were how many ways? There were four different ways the person can praise Allah when he sneezes, and four different replies. Yeah, that's why you said Allah. May Allah make you sound. In all of it. And that's it for that one. The next hadith that we find, and before we go on, we'd like to just mention that this particular hadith, the hadith that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu that we just mentioned here in Adab al-Mufrad, the one that is unauthentic is let's see, did we bring it in? Yes. The one that is unauthentic says, يُشَمِّتُ الْعَاطِسُ ثَلَاثًا يُشَمَّتُ الْعَاطِسُ ثَلَاثًا إِذَا زَادَ فَإِنْ شِدَّ شَمِّتْهُ وَإِنْ شِدَّ the sneezer is replied to for three sneezes. And if he goes beyond three sneezes, he increases. And if you want, you can reply. And if you don't, if you want, you don't have to reply. You can refrain. This hadith is the hadith that we were talking about. This hadith of Sa'id, لا يصح عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, is not authentic. As Imam al-Tirmidhi made this hadith unauthentic, he deemed it as weak. In Imam al-Nawawi, in his book Al-Azkar, he also mentions the weakness of this hadith, inshallah. And the muhaddith of the scholar of hadith of this century, Al-Albani, habibuhumullah wa rahmatullahi alayhim ajma'in, he also deemed this hadith in Al-Jami' al-Saghir al-Sa'id. Okay. Also, there is another expression that some people use when people sneeze, of which shouldn't be said, which is not, has no basis in the Sunnah, which is شفاك الله وعافاك. May Allah heal you and give you good health. May Allah heal you and give you good health. This hadith is not authentic. I mean, I should say this saying has no basis. It has no hadith connected to it at all. As for the next hadith in the next section in Al-Adab al-Mufrad is إذا عطس اليهودي, when a Jew sneezes. In this hadith, alhamdulillah, Sheikh Al-Albani, in his Sahih, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, the very first hadith in this section, in fact the only hadith that Imam al-Bukhari brings in this section. There's only one hadith in this section of one of these sneezes, only one, and that's this one, and it's authentic, alhamdulillah. It says, حَدَّثَنَا مُحَمَّدُ بْنُ يُوسُفُ, and Muhammad ibn Yusuf related to us. He said, حَدَّثَنَا سُفْيَان, and Sufyan related to us. عَنْ حَكِيمِ ibn Daylam, from Hakim ibn Daylam. عَنْ أَبِي بُرْدَة, from Abu Durda. عَنْ أَبِي مُوسَى, from Abu Musa, who said, كان اليهود يتعاطسون عند النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم رجاء أن يقول لهم يرحمكم الله. That the Jews used to make themselves sneeze amongst the servants while the Prophet was around them, he was present. They used to make themselves sneeze. In other words, they used to feign sneezing. They used to fake sneezing. In order for the Prophet, with the hope that he would say to them, يَرْحَمَكُمُ اللَّهِ, may Allah have mercy on you. فَكَانَ يَقُولُ, but the Prophet صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم used to only say, يَهْدِيكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيُصْلِحُ بَالَكُمْ, may Allah guide you and better your condition, make your affairs free. And of course, as we mentioned the other night, the other class, speaking and yawning, from Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, that this is the appropriate thing to say from the Sunnah of the Prophet and his guidance, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to a kafir. The hadith is talking about Jews specifically, but it means any kafir. That we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide them. We ask Allah to guide them. This particular hadith starts out in the chain of it saying that Muhammad ibn Yusuf narrated to us, who said, حَدَّثَنَا سُفْيَان, that Sufyan narrated to us. It's apparent from this particular hadith, the chain of this hadith, that this Sufyan is not Sufyan ibn Uyayna. Sufyan ibn Uyayna, who came in the end of the first century, the Tabi'in, radiallahu anhu. But rather, this Sufyan is Sufyan al-Thawri. Sufyan al-Thawri. Because the person coming right after him narrated to him, who was Hakim ibn al-Daylam. Hakim, the son of al-Daylam. Alright? If it is Ibn Uyayna. Allah knows best. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. What we learned from this particular hadith is that one of the attributes of the Jews, once again, is the faith, the fame, and to cause and to cause problems to other people and to also gain for themselves. They constantly want to gain for themselves. This was their MO, as we say, modus operandi. They always try to gain something for themselves, even though they know that they're not deserving, by faking it. Ta'atasun means yatakallafuna al-a'tas yastad'unahu. That they would try to, you know, they would be overbearing with their sneezing. They keep doing it so that perhaps they can seek du'a of rahmah. But of course, we don't say this to the kuffar. We don't ask Allah for rahmah, as we mentioned the other night. We only ask for guidance for them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide them. There are some things we wanted to mention pertaining to the people who are not, we want to sum up those people who are not eligible for the reply. And before we do that, we just like to say that it's obligatory for every sneezer to praise Allah. It's obligatory on them to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the only people who will not be eligible for the tashmeet are six categories of people. There's six categories of people who are not eligible by the Islamic law, by the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to receive the tashmeet. And before we go on with that, this word tashmeet is another word, which is tasmeet. And tashmeet with a sheen, and tasmeet with a seen. Tashmeet is aleph, lam, ta, sheen, meme, ya, open ta. This word and tasmeet with a seen spelled the same way has the same meaning. Meaning of a tashmeet or a tasmeet has the meaning of the person like relaxing the organs in their body, in their head, in their heart, in their muscles. This is the meaning of tashmeet. And when this happens, you are actually asking Allah to have mercy on them, meaning mercy on them. You're asking Allah to return their organs back to their original state, because there's something that happens when you sneeze. So the tashmeet has the meaning, or tashmeet has the meaning of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to return your internal organs back to their original position or their original state. Some of the kuffar, they tried to say that and Allah knows best, that they say God bless you, which is not the response that we should be giving anyone, Muslim or Catholic, let alone a Catholic. But we should not be saying when someone sneezes to a Muslim, God bless you. Absolutely we shouldn't be saying it to a Catholic. No doubt. But once again, it is as though with the tashmeet that you're saying to Allah, oh Allah, return this person's organs, or return, the meaning is attack Allahu Rahman. May Allah return mercy to the person. You know, attack Allahu Rahman. That's what you're saying. May Allah give to you, or return to you, or give to you Rahmah by way of, because of that which happened before the sneeze. In other words, your organs were in a certain position.
and they become like disturbed when you sneeze. So Yarhamakum Allah is a dua asking Allah to have mercy on you, which means return them to their relaxed state. That's what the ulama said. So those six categories of people that we can sum up from what we learned are as follows. Number one, whoever sneezes and doesn't praise Allah Ta'ala, then he deserves no tashmeed. Tashmeed. Yeah, we're listening. Yeah, that's it? Yeah, of course. It's the Muslim. Right. Because the kafir doesn't get it. There is some discussion on the first point. Should the person remind the person to say Alhamdulillah? And it's, to the best of my knowledge, the Qawl al-Rajih, the strongest of opinion, is that you don't tell the person when they didn't praise Allah to praise Allah. This seems to be the strongest opinion. If the person sneezes, achoo, and they don't say Alhamdulillah, you don't tell them to say Alhamdulillah. This seems to be the strongest of the things. Even though there is a narration that a man sneezed in the presence of Al-Awza'i radiallahu anhu. Al-Awza'i, who was one of the Tabi'un. And he didn't praise Allah. And this narration is from Ibrahim al-Nakhai, who was also one of the Tabi'een, that man who sneezed in front of al-Awza'i didn't praise Allah. He said to the man, كَيْفَ يَقُولُ مَنْ عَطَسَ, what do you say, or how do you respond to the person who sneezed? So the person who sneezed and didn't say Alhamdulillah, al-Awza'i, when he asked him, كَيْفَ يَقُولُ مَنْ عَطَسَ, how do you responds to the person who sneezed. You know, he's talking to the person who didn't say Alhamdulillah. You follow the story? So the person says, Alhamdulillah. And then Al-Awza'i said, Yarhamakullah. So this is the kind of a dalil that you don't tell the person to say Alhamdulillah, but you can, not play, we don't call it play with it, but you can you can use your wit to get him to say Alhamdulillah. Something like this. See, I didn't hear you say that. Right? Oh, Alhamdulillah. Yarhamakumullah. Right? So the first category out of how many? Seven or six? Six people. The six people is the first one is whoever sneezes and doesn't praise Allah. How many ways can we praise Allah? Four ways. Four ways to praise Allah. Four different ways to praise Allah. That person, that Muslim, doesn't praise Allah. You don't make tashmeed, or tashmeed, the thing. You don't make tashmeed on that person, and you don't remind them. Alright? The second category, if the sneeze goes beyond three times, you don't make tashmeed. Why? Because he has a cold. As the Prophet ﷺ said, شمته واحدة وثنتين وثلاثا فما كان بعد هذا فهو الزكان. If he sneezes, you reply with the shem, the tashmeed to him, and there are four different tashmeed, maybe, or five. You reply to him if he sneezes once. Hachu! Yarhamakum Allah. Hachu! Alhamdulillah, Yarhamakum Allah. Hachu! Alhamdulillah, Yarhamakum Allah. Right? Three times. If he goes beyond that, then he has a cold. There's no hadith that's authentic that says that you reply to him beyond that if you want to or not. We mentioned the hadith that says that if you want, you reply, and if you don't want to reply, you refrain. Refrain from replying. The chain of that hadith is not authentic. As Imam al-Tirmidhi said, and also our Shaykh Nasruddin al-Albani, that the hadith is not authentic. Not offensive. minutes later you sneeze.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you, it's that one person who sneezes. So if it's an hour later or whatever, in that gathering, you're sitting there having a medicine or whatever, you know, you're having a tika or zabiha, commonly known as afifa. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't really like the word afifa. He used it, but he didn't like the word afifa. He used zabiha or nasika. You're sitting there for the nasika or walima or whatever, right? And the person sneezes, an hour goes by, he sneezes again, he sneezes again. You don't have to respond. Because there's no narration that says that you have to respond after that. And the person has a head cold. عنده زكام. He has a head cold. Which means he's مذكوم. But that hadith is not authentic. We're not saying that the person is not مذكوم. Because مذكوم, as the brothers have learned in the Arabic class, is on the scale of مفعول. مذكوم means he's the one that has the زكام. Follow? He's مذكوم, the form of مفعول. Now, you want to say something else?
No. Right.
It seems as though it applies to him no matter where you are, because you are the atif, you are the sneezer, and he heard you sneeze twice. Yeah, you respond. Of course, you respond. You respond on all of them because it's wajib on you to respond.
Right. We have
a narration. We have the narration from Abu Huraira رضي الله تعالى عنه that he said, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إذا عطس أحدكم فليشمته جليسه وإن زاد على ثلاث فهو مذكوم ولا تشمت بعد ثلاث مرات. That he heard the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, when one of you sneezes, then it is incumbent upon the person who is with him, the jalis, to respond in the tashmeet. And if he goes beyond three times, then he is mazkoon. And you don't make the tashmeet after the third time. This hadith from the thought of Abu Huraira, akhrajahu Abu Dawood in his sunan. It is extracted by Abu Dawood in his sunan, and the book of Al-Adab, and the section, how many times is the atif given to tashmeet? How many times is the sneezer given the reply? That's a section in the book of etiquette manners in Abu Dawood's collection. And also Ibn Sunni in his book Amal al-Yawm wal-Layla, he also brings it. And this particular hadith Sahahahu al-Albani and Sahih al-Jami' al-Saghir, he grades this hadith as authentic. And al-Jami' al-Saghir, it is in volume 1 hadith on page 179 hadith 684 inshallah. Inshallah. Alright? And we also mentioned earlier that, the person doesn't say, Shafakallahu wa afaka. The third category of people is the one that the tashmeet who is the one who is a kafir, the one who is a kafir, he's not responded to like the Muslim. Not responded to like the Muslim, meaning he doesn't get the tashmeet that the Muslim gets. Right? We don't say to him, Ya Rahamukallah. Right? The only thing we say to him is Yahdikumullahu wa Yusbihu Balakum. Also, the person who is under some oppressive individual who he may not want to make the dua for, or some kafir is over him, and he is coerced to say, Yarhamakum Allah. This person, if he's not coerced, if he's coerced, he says it. But if he's in a situation where he, if he feels some harm, in other words, you know, say Yarhamakum Allah to me. Alright? Then, of course, he says Yarhamakum Allah. But if he is some tyrant, or he doesn't fear any harm from some tyrannical person or some scab or something like that, then he doesn't respond to it. But if the person feels fear, he's going to be harmed for not responding to a person who doesn't deserve, by the Islamic law, to be given the tashmid, then that person, based on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, من كفر بالله من بعد إيمانه إلا من أكره وقلبه مطمئن بالإيمان. Who is it that would disbelieve after Iman except one who is coerced, who is compelled, while he's being compelled, while his heart has complete tranquility with Iman. In other words, in his chest is Iman, but he's being forced to say something that would be against Islam. See, so this is the excuse for the person who is compelled to do that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. How many is that? Three or four? What's the first one? No tashmid or tasmid for the person who doesn't praise Allah. And in addition to that, we don't remind him. That's connected to the first one. We don't remind him. What's the second one? The person goes beyond three times. He's mazkun. That's the second one. What's the third one? The kafir doesn't get the same as Muslim. He only gets yahdikumullahu wa yusrifu barakum. And the fourth one? Huh? The one who's fought. Yeah. All right. The fifth category is the one who sneezes while the imam is giving the khutbah. Jum'ah. And he praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If not, then he doesn't make the tashmeen. He doesn't make the tashmeen. Why? Because the person is supposed to be silent during the khutbah. It's wajib for the person to be silent. Alright? So if the imam is giving the khutbah and someone sneezes, Alhamdulillah, it's not on you to say Yarhamakumullah, because you have to be quiet while the imam is giving the khutbah. It's on the person themselves to say Alhamdulillah, but you can't say Yarhamakumullah to that person, because that's a reply to a statement, so it's considered like speaking. You follow? You understand what we're saying? The person who sneezes, he has to say Alhamdulillah. Even when the khutbah is being given, well, he's going to say it in a manner that if it was legal for the persons around him to hear him, they would be able to respond to him. So, the imam is in the khutbah, alhamdulillah. Right? But the people around him are not supposed to say, Yarhamakumullah, if the imam is giving the khutbah. But if the imam is sitting between the two khutbah, the first part and the second part, and someone sneezes, then it is incumbent upon those who hear, based on the first hadith we gave the other night, to say Yarhamakumullah, or whatever response that is appropriate for the hamd that he gave. Alright? Because the imam is not speaking yet. He's been sitting between the two khutbah on the minbar. And on the authority of Abu Hurairah, radiallahu anhu, a hadith that's extracted by Al-Bukhari in his Sahih and the book of Jum'ah under the section Al-Insatu Yawm Al-Jum'ah, when Imam Yakhtub, being quiet and giving ear on the day of Jum'ah while the Imam is giving the khutbah, and also connected by Imam Muslim in his Sahih in the book of Jum'ah under the same section of being quiet on the day of Jum'ah during the khutbah. He said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا قُلْتَ لِصَاحِبِكَ أَنْصِتْ يَوْمَ الْجُمْعَةِ وَالْإِمَامُ يَخْطُبُ فَقَدْ لَغَوْتَ. If you were to say to your companion, أَنْصِتْ, on the day of Jum'ah, be quiet, right? While the Imam is giving the khutbah, then you have transgressed in your speech. You have made vain conversation. Right? So if the Imam stops, for instance, he's trying to remember a verse, he's trying to remember a hadith, and he has a pause, he's not speaking, or he's sitting between the two khutbah, right? He becomes silent. If there's any space in between the silence and his speech, if there's a space of silence, and a person sneezes, says Alhamdulillah, or any of the appropriate ways to praise Allah, then you can respond. As long as he's speaking, while he's speaking, you can't respond. Yes. If he, according to some, yes, you can remind him of the verse. Yes. How many is that? That's five. That's five. And we said it was six. I think it may not be six. Okay. The other example is if the person sneezes and praises Allah in the salah. I'm in the salah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Hashu! Alhamdulillah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. That particular person, whether it's a fard salah or a nafl salah. Right? The person himself praises Allah when he sneezes in or outside of the salah. But you're not to respond to him if you're in the salah. No, you're supposed to say it. Right. You're supposed to say it. So if a person is next to you, and they're in the salah, they cannot say any of the tashmeen, perform the various forms of tashmeen. Right? Now, difference of understanding? Well, not that I know of. I don't know of anyone that says that Jesus doesn't fail. Yeah, he must praise Allah at least Alhamdulillah. At most, he's going to say, Alhamdulillah, hamdan kathirun tayyiban mubarakan fi, mubarakan alayhi, kama yuhibbu rabbuna wa yarda. This is the actual statement in the text of the hadith that we cited the other night, that the person sneezes in their salah. As for the response, there's no response, and the proof for there's no response is the hadith of Muawiyah ibn Hakim al-Sulami. Where he was in the salah and the person sneezed and he said, Yarhamuk Allah. And the people started looking at him strangely, beating, smacking their sides with their hands. And he said, Wa tukla ummaya. You know, may your mother be bereaved for you. Why are you looking at me like this? You know? And then, after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finished his prayer, he said, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companion Muawiyah, who's the narrator, he said that I have never seen any teacher better than the Prophet, before the Prophet or after the Prophet. He's the best of teachers, right? He says, ما قهرني ولا ضربني ولا شتمني. He didn't beat me. He didn't scold me. He didn't oppress me. He didn't rebuke me. The only thing he said was, إن هذه الصلاة this salah is لا يصلح لا يصلح فيها شيء من كلام الناس إنما هو التسبيح والتكبير وقراءة القرآن أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. This salah is only for is only made for it's not too appropriate that the speech of people should be included in it. It's only for making takbir and making tasbih and repetition of the Quran, as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said. Okay, we like to, and that's the end of the section on sneezing from Imam. Oh no 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 no! Excuse me. There's one more hadith. One more hadith. Almost skipped. One more hadith in the section of sneezing and al-adab al-mufrad by Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, which is the section tashmit al-rajuli al-mar'at. The response of tashmit from the man to the woman. Man to the woman. And this hadith is connected, rated authentic by our Sheikh Nasruddin Al-Albani. And the hadith with the full chain, because the Sheikh Al-Albani does not bring the full chain. It is Sahih Al-Adab al-Mufrad. As Imam al-Bukhari brought the chain. He says, حَدَّثَنَا فِرْوَة ابن أبي المغراء الكندي الكندي وأحمد بن إشكاب الحضرمي السفار قال حدثنا القاسم بن مالك المزني عن عاصم بن كليب عن أبي بردة قال دخلت على أبي موسى وهو في بيت أم الفضل بن العباس فعطست فلم تشمتني وعطست فشمتها فأخبرت أمي فلما أتاها وقعت بي وقالت عطسبني فلم تشمته وعطست فشمتها فقال لها إني سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إذا عطس أحدكم فحمد الله فشمتوه وإن لم يحمد الله فلا تشمتوه وإن ابني عطس فلم يحمد الله فلم أشمته وعطست فحمدت الله فشمتها فقالت أحسنت. This is narrated by Furwa ibn Abi al-Maghra'i al-Kanadi and Ahmed ibn Ishkab was al-Hadrami, was Abu Abdullah al-Sifar al-Hadrami, who the ulama of hadith says was Siqa, Ma'mun, he was Siqa, was trustworthy, and he died in 218 after the Hijra. They said, the two of them, meaning Farwa, who was Ibn Abi al-Maghra'i al-Kanadi, and Ahmed ibn Ishtab, they both said, حدثنا القاسم بن مالك المزني that he narrated to us from who we counted from عاصم ابن كليب he reported from أبو بردة he reported that he said I entered into the room or the house or into the pond أبو موسى here is أبو موسى الأشعري رضي الله عنه. While he was in the house of al-Fadl ibn al-Abbas. While Abu Musa al-Ash'ari was in the house of al-Fadl. Al-Fadl ibn al-Abbas. Who's al-Fadl ibn al-Abbas? This is his mother. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari was in the house with the mother of al-Fadl. Ibn Abbas. Anybody know who Al-Fadl was? Real simple. No, Al-Fadl. Al-Fadl. Who is he related to? Abdullah. Abdullah ibn Abbas. Anyone know any other hadith about Al-Fadl ibn Abbas? No.
We were mentioning, we were asking the question, does anyone know who Al-Fadl ibn al-Abbas is, and were there any other hadith from him? He was the brother of Abdullah ibn Abbas, and you mentioned that the hadith before the tape stopped, you mentioned that he was the person who the Prophet ﷺ put his hands on his face, we believe, or on his chin, his cheek, and turned his face away. Not just told him, but he actually turned his face. And he was riding on the animal, the mount, behind the Prophet ﷺ during the final Hajj, during the Hajjatul Wida', the farewell Hajj, the last Hajj the Prophet made, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this was a time where they were out of Ihram. They were out of the state of Al Ihram. And it was a very beautiful girl, and Al Fadl, the narrator says, was very handsome. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam put his hands on his cheek and turned his face away from the girl, for fear of what shaitan might incite in that girl's heart for him, and likewise for him, for her. This is the same Al-Fadl, the brother of Abdullah ibn Abbas. Like, I like the last now. Does anyone know the age difference between Al-Fadl and Abdullah? Who was the oldest? Al-Fadl and Abdullah. Who was the oldest? It just says Shab. He was a Shab. And Shab goes all the way up to almost 50 years of age. Shab meaning a youth. But Al-Fadl, to the best of my knowledge, was older. To the best of my knowledge, he was older. Wallahu a'lam. Al-Fadl ibn al-Abbas. And his brother is Abdullah ibn al-Abbas. Right. Al-Abbas, he's asking, who's this? Abbas is the son of who? Who is it, Muhammad? Fadl is the son of Abbas. Al-Abbas. Al-Abbas is the son of who? You know? Abdul Muttalib. Is Al-Fadl Ibn al-Abbas Ibn Abdul Muttalib. Right. Okay, so the hadith says that Abu Musa, it says that Abu Barda went in to the room of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari while he was in the house of al-Fadl Ibn al-Abbas. Right? Abu Barda. This is Abu Barda narrating the hadith. And I sneezed, and he did not reply with the tashmid. And then she replied. Remember, he was in the house of al-Fadl, al-Fadl al-Abbas. Right? While he was in the house of al-Fadl ibn Abbas. Al-Fadl ibn al-Abbas. The person whose house he was in was the daughter of al-Fadl ibn Abbas, al-Abbas. It was his daughter. It was his daughter. It was Abu Musa al-Ash'ari's daughter's house. That's right. One of his wives. Yeah, the daughter of al-Fadl is Kulthum, the daughter of al-Fadl ibn Abbas. It was Kulthum, the daughter of al-Fadl ibn Abbas, who was the wife of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. You with me? The daughter of al-Fadl, this girl, in this narration, when it says, I entered in on Abu Musa al-Ash'ari while he was in the house of al-Fadl ibn Abbas, meaning while he was in the house of the daughter of al-Fadl ibn Abbas. That daughter is Kulthum, bint al-Fadl ibn al-Abbas, who was the wife of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, whom he married after Al-Hasan, the son of Ali, divorced.
You got that? She had a child for Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, and then he died. He left her a widow. As Imam al-Nawawi mentioned, this is not his first wife, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, who was Abdullah, the daughter of Abu Dawma. This is Kulthum. Alright? Okay. Anyway, he says, I sneezed and he didn't respond with tashmid. And she sneezed and he responded. Right? He sneezed, he says, I sneezed, the narrator. I sneezed, he didn't respond. She sneezed while we were in the house and he responded. So I told my mother. Right? I went and told my mother. So my mother came, you know, when he came to her, he was kind of upset, and he went to her and he told her what happened. You know, he like, we don't say jumped all over, but what's up, you know? And then she said, speaking on his behalf, my son sneezed and you didn't respond with tashmid. And she sneezed and you responded. So he said to her, surely I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, when any one of you sneezes, then praises Allah, then respond to him with the tashmid. Fashammituhu. And if the person didn't praise Allah, then don't. فَلَا تُشَمِّتُوهُ. Then don't respond. Surely my son sneezed, and he didn't praise Allah, so I didn't respond with the tashmid. And she sneezed and praised Allah, so I responded to her with the tashmid. So she said, أَحْسَنْتَ. You've done well. Alright? And this hadith shows how the Sahaba were. When the dalil came to them, they complied. But until there was dalil, you know, as human beings, what's going on? You know, I sneezed, you didn't say anything. What's going on? Abu Burda's mother. Abu Burda's mother, we don't know. I don't know. All I know is that this is the mother of Abu Burda, who was the narrator of this hadith. Alright? And that's the end of this section on the sneezing from Al-Adab al-Mufrad. As for yawning, the next section, At-Tathaub. Imam al-Bukhari, he brings no hadith under this section. He brings no hadith under this section. The only thing he brings is the hadith that he brought in another section. It's a piece of another hadith mentioned someplace else, which is حَدَّثَنَا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ بْنُ يُوسُفُ قَالْ أَخْبَرَنَا مَالِكُ عن العلاء ابن عبد الرحمن عن أبيه عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلوات الله وسلامه عليه قال إذا تثاءب أحدكم فليقظم ما استطاع. عبد الله ابن يوسف narrated to us that Malik informed us from العلاء ابن عبد الرحمن from his father from Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu radiyallahu ta'ala anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if any one of you yawns, then he should yakzim, he should suppress, meaning the yawn, as much as he can. This particular word, of which we spelled the other night, التثاؤب, comes from the verb تثاءب, which is the فعل الماضي, the past tense verb. تثاءب, يتثاءب, يتثاءب, which is the مضارع, which is the indicative verb, or the present tense verb, and the مصدر is تثاؤب. تثاؤب. It's on the scale of تفاعل. تفاعل. يتفاعل, تفاعل. Right? The word tafa'ala excuse me, the word tatha'aba comes from the word thawba. Thawba'un. Thawba. Actually, thawba'u. Thawba'u. Thawba means a fatratum min thaqalil nu'as. يفتح لها فاه. It means a space between the heaviness of fatigue and deep and pre-sleep, which makes the mouth open. That's what ثوباء. الثوباء means a pause because of the heaviness of نعاس. نعاس is سنة. سنة and نعاس is the same word. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. سنة is نعاس. نعاس is when you become real fatigued and you start dozing. It's not real sleep. It's the prelude to sleep. ثوباء is the space that makes the mouth open from the heaviness of نعاس. That's why they call it yawning. Because it's the prelude to you losing consciousness. Alright? Are you with me? Okay. There's a reason why the ulama of Islam, in conjunction with the ulama of science, say why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was inspired to tell us to do one thing from the sneezing and another thing from the yawning. It seems as though that the yawning is a sign of sluggishness and weariness and fatigue, whereas the sneezing, I said sneezing or yawning? The yawning. And the sneezing is getting rid of bacteria, things that would harm you, and awakening of the senses. And an awakening of the senses. You see? As for the yawning, this is something showing some type of fatigue or lack of oxygen or something like this, where Shaitan loves this. Right? Shaitan loves this. He loves us to go to sleep and become fatigued and drugged and dreary and to be, you know, have this drugginess. He loves this. Why? Because this will keep you away from the ibadah of Allah. And this is why in the tathweeb, you have the word thawba from the thawba, for yawning. We have the word at-tathweeb, which means to say, as-salatu khayrun min an-nawm. In the adhan, because in the first adhan, in the al-fajr al-kadhib, as we mentioned the other day in the salah class, in the false fajr, the tathweeb, we say as-salatu khayrun min an-nawm. Prayer is better than sleep. Prayer is better than sleep. Shaitan loves the sleep. He would rather for you to sleep. That's why bala shaitan fi udhunik. Wali'adhu billah. Shaitan urinates in your ear, right? As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when a person oversleeps, fa bala shaitanu fi udhunihi. Shaitan urinates in his ear. Alright? So the yawning is a prelude, is a sign of weakness, is a sign of drudgery, is a sign of weariness, is a sign of fatigue. And this is one of the reasons why it is from a shaitan, as opposed to the sneezing. according to the scholars of Islam, based on these hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Muslim is supposed to hate at-tathaub. As we mentioned in the first class, he or she is supposed to hate at-tathaub, the yawning. Why? It's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Allah yuhibbul 'utas wa yakrahu at-tathaub." Surely Allah loves sneezing and he hates the yawning. And as we mentioned in the first class, we should love what Allah loves as believers and hate what Allah hates. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. And those who believe, they're more intense in their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for the things, of course, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And as those things that He hates, we should hate them as well. So shaitan, as the scholars of Islam have mentioned to us, the reason why it's hated, and it should be hated all the time. You should never like yawning. You should always hate it. And anything that shaitan hates, you should always hate it. You shouldn't like, you shouldn't really get into it. You know,
And of course, if the shaitan loves yawning, and we know he loves yawning because Allah hates it. Aqliyan, from Dalil al-Aqli, anything from the rational proof, anything that Allah loves, shaitan hates. Anything that Allah hates, shaitan loves. We know this, rationally. So if shaitan hates, if shaitan loves at-tafa'ub, yawning, then, and he hates as-salah, we know he hates salah. He hates for the mu'min to make salah. The logical conclusion is, the syllogism from that is that he hates, I mean he loves for the abd or the amma, the male or female slave of Allah. He hates for Abdullah or Amatullah to, excuse me, he loves for Abdullah to yawn while he's praying. He hates the yawn, excuse me, he hates the salah and he loves the yawning. So he would love even more for the abd of Allah to yawn while he's praying and to not cover his mouth. And to not cover his mouth. And the hadith that we have for that, covering your mouth, of which I've noticed through my years of being a Muslim, has plagued the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many Muslims yawn in their salah and they don't cover their mouths. But we have a hadith which is extracted by Imam at-Tirmidhi in his Sunan, under the section of salah, under the chapters of salah, under the section of that which is disliked of yawning in salah. And you can also find with that explanation from Ibn al-Arabi and our Shaykh Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani in his Sahih of the Sunan of at-Tirmidhi. He grades the hadith authentic, and his, and the number of the hadith is 304. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "At-tafa'ubu fi salati min ash-shaytan." فَإِذَا تَثَاءَبَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَقْضِمْ مَسْتَطَاعَ. And this hadith is different from the narration that is in front of us from Al-Adab al-Mufrad. The one we just mentioned from Al-Adab al-Mufrad, which is narrated by Imam al-Bukhari, that he said that the narrator was Abu Huraira, says, إِذَا تَثَاءَبَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَقْضِمْ مَسْتَطَاعَ. When any of you yawns, then let him suppress it as much as he can. The one in the Tirmidhi has the exact wording, with the exception that it says, "At-tathaubu fi salati min ash-shaytan." It doesn't say when any one of you yawns. It says that yawning is in the salah is from shaytan. We already know that in general, yawning is from a shaytan. Now we know that yawning in the salah is also from shaytan. And we also know, adding this hadith to the other hadith, the hadith in the Tirmidhi, to the one here in Al-Adab al-Mufrad, that when you're in the Salah, you're also supposed to do what you're supposed to do after the Salah, which is cover your mouth as much as possible. Either suppressing your lips together, making them, sealing them tight, and of course, with the other hadith, not saying, because the person who does that, not only does shaitan go inside of you, but he laughs at you. And the reason why he laughs at you is what? We mentioned it the other night. Because your face becomes disfigured. Your face becomes disfigured, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book, وَلَقَدَ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Allah has created the human being in the best of molds. Shaitan loves to see your face distorted and contorted and disfigured, so he laughs. So we know from this, in this narration, from these two narrations, that it is wajib. It's wajib on the insan that when he yawns or she yawns, فَعَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَقْضِمَ مَا اسْتَطَاعَ, that he or she has to suppress the yawn as much as possible. He or she must suppress the yawn as much as possible. And we have another narration on the authority of Abu Sa'id and al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in this hadith, as it follows, إِذَا تَثَاءَبَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَمْسِكْ بِيَدِهِ عَلَى فِيهِ فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَدْخُلُ. Alright? When any of you yawns, then he should hold his mouth with his hand. He should cover his mouth with his hand, and as we mentioned the other night, he shouldn't make a fist. He should not make a fist.
and put it in front of his mouth like many of us do. He should take the palm of his hand and place it completely over his mouth, because surely Shaitan will go inside of him. Surely Shaitan goes inside of the person. Some of the people of knowledge, they say that it's afdal, it's better for the person to use their left hand when they cover their mouth. Some take it even one step further and they say that if you're in qiyam, you use your right hand, and if you're in jalsa, in the sitting position, you use your left hand. And there's no text for this. This is only from their ijtihad, from their own independent reasoning. And there's no text for this. But the reason why is because you use the left hand for those things that are reprehensible, you use the right hand for those things that are commendable, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Which is similar to going into the bathroom with your right foot. We have a text of going to relieve yourself with your right foot, but we have no text, going to the masjid with your right foot, but we have no text from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of going to the bathroom with your left foot. This is the extrapolation, or the independent reasoning, ijtihad extrapolated by the ulama, that if you go into the masjid with your right foot, which we have a text for, that the opposite of that is going to the bathroom. But we have no narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for this, which is going into the bathroom with your left foot. Now, and this yawning is similar to this. And some even take it one step further before you mention that, is to use the back of the hand when you're in jalsa. Some people say that you use the back of your hand over your mouth when you're yawning, and the front of your hand when you're in qiyam. And this, I believe, is from some of the latter-day Hanafis, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once again, is A'lam. He knows best. Now, you're going to say something? Okay. As far as the mutatha'ib, the yawner, the things that we can say that what will happen, that he should be aware of, or she should be aware of, from the tatha'ub, from the yawning, is that if he doesn't do what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, then there's some serious issues that come about if he doesn't follow what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has canonized in his sunnah. One of them is that he becomes he loses of the hasanat, the good deeds, the rewards, the merits, by not following what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. That's the first thing. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book, من أطاع الرسول فقد أطاع الله. Whoever obeys the messenger has obeyed Allah. Whoever obeys the messenger has obeyed Allah. So the first thing the person loses is the reward of obeying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second thing is that the person doesn't take the appropriate steps of covering their mouths. Is that the yawning person's face will become disfigured, all right, by the opening of their mouth, and not sealing it with their hands or something else. The other thing is that the possibility of their organs, not their organs, but their arteries collapsing. Some people say that the arteries in the face, from the medical point of view, become separated and weakened by yawning. This is one of the things that the people of science say. So, and this is all, you know, of course, this is science, it's a speculation from the scientific point of view, and Allah knows best. The other thing is that you give al-ifrah. You give ifrah and rida. You give farah. You give joy and pleasure to shaitan when you don't follow what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said to do. And you give shaitan the opportunity to laugh at you. And in addition to that, if you don't cover your mouth, you give the opportunity to shaitan to enter you. And this reminds me of the story that I read in this book, this children's book. And of course, it's not true. I'm not ashamed to say, it was a Sufi children's book. I was reading one day where it says that two jinns encountered each other on the road. And this is just to give you an idea of what we're talking about by shaitan being pleased, or shaitan participating in acts with us, or taking benefit in something that we do in contradiction to the Sunnah. We all know that when we eat, as we mentioned in the Riyadh al-Salihin class, that when we eat, we should say Bismillah. If we don't, Shaitan will partake the food with us. Alright? And when we remember Allah in the middle of it, Shaitan throws it up, if that narration is authentic, and inshallah it is, that he throws it up, whatever he ate with us. There was, in this particular booklet that I read years ago, that there were two jinns, the jinns that eat with you when you don't say Bismillah. They encountered each other on the road. And one of them was real fat, and the other one was real skinny. Of course, this is not a true story, and we're just using it as, you know, istishhadin, just to give us an idea of what we mean. So the jinn that was real fat that eats with the person looked at the other jinn and said, you know, why are you emaciated? Why are you all skinny like this? You know, anorexic. Why are you like this? He said, because my companion, meaning the human being, always says Bismillah. And obviously, the other one, his companion, never said Bismillah, the Bismillah, because he was fat and he was, you know, eating a lot of food. So this is one of the things that is gained by Shaitan, أعوذ بالله منه, when we don't follow the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And if we don't follow the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, pertaining to yawning, then the Shaitan is obeyed. And we're in disobedience to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah firstly. The Prophet also said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a hadith that we've already mentioned, إِذَا تَثَاءَبَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَرُدَّهُ مَا اسْتَطَاعَ فَإِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ إِذَا تَثَاءَبَ ضَحِكَ مِنْهُ الشَّيْطَانُ. And we already gave this hadith the other night, that when any of you sneezes, this is the latter part of the hadith, when any of you yawns, pardon me, that he should repel it as much as possible, and that when any of you, and when and one of you, when one of you yawns, Shaitan laughs at him. And also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as we mentioned, إِذَا تَثَاءَبَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَمْسِكْ بِيَدِهِ عَلَى فِيهِ فَإِنَّ شَيْطَانَ يَدْخُلْ. When any of you yawns, then he should cover his mouth, put his hand over his mouth, for surely Shaitan enters. As for what is said when we yawn, there's nothing that is reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from his hadi, from his guidance. And we know that khayrul huda huda Muhammadan sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad. There's nothing reported that he said when he yawned, when a person yawns. There's nothing that he gave to us that says that we should say when we yawn, as opposed to what many people do. يستعيذون بالله من الشيطان ظنا منهم بأنه مستحب. Many people, they seek refuge with Allah from the shaitan with the assumption that it's mustahab, that it's recommended. But this is a ظن خاطئ لا دليل عليه. There's no proof for this whatsoever. This is a serious mistake, a mistaken notion from people, because there's no evidence for it from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. ولو كان مشروعا لكثر النقل فيه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وعن أصحابه. And if it were authentic, pertaining to sneezing and yawning, we would have a lot of narrations, because we have innumerable narrations on sneezing and yawning. And if it was authentic, we would have had something from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. But we don't. Not even an unauthentic hadith telling us to say when you yawn, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Alright? And of course, we have to reject it as a bid'ah if somebody says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, because yawning and sneezing is worship for the Muslim. Yawning and sneezing is worship, or the response to them is a part of our worship. And Aisha رضي الله تعالى عنها said that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. Whoever does an action that is not a part of this deen originally, then it will be rejected. As for the statement that I almost made, that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to yawn, and I caught myself, we don't have any proof that prophets yawn. In fact, we have some narrations that Ibn al-Hajr al-Asqalani brought in his book Fathul Bari, the explanation of al-Bukhari, as part of the prophetic characteristics. That which was extracted by Ibn Abi Shayba and Imam al-Bukhari in his Tariq, and a Mursal hadith, and I want you to pay close attention, Because a mursal hadith is a da'if hadith, is a weak hadith. If the chain of this hadith can be repaired by some other narration, this hadith, transmitted by Muhammad ibn Abi Shaybah in his Musannaf, and Imam al-Bukhari in his book called At-Tariq, which we mentioned the other night. Imam al-Bukhari wrote a book called At-Tariq on the authority of Yazid ibn al-Asam radiallahu anhu, that says, he said, this, once again, this is a mursal hadith, which is considered unauthentic. ما تثاءب النبي قط, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never ever yawned. Never ever yawned. If this chain of this hadith can be repaired, then we can accept this as a proof. And also, we have a hadith by Al-Khitabi, which he extracted by way of Maslama ibn Abd al-Malik ibn Mirwan, or Marwan, who said, مَا تَثَاءَبَ نَبِيٌ قَطْ, that no prophet, the first one is the prophet, meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, never yawned. And then this one, which is extracted by Al-Khitabi, says that a prophet, never a prophet, has yawned. And Maslama, for those who are interested from the point of hadith science, met some of the Sahaba, and he's Saduq. He is Saduq, meaning he's one of those people that has one of the qualities or characteristics that would make a hadith authentic. He's Saduq. Yes. If that hadith is authentic, and it's supported by the statement at tathaub min ash-shaytan, that tathaub is from shaytan, that yawning is from shaytan, if these narrations are authentic, then alhamdulillah. And if they're not, at least we know that yawning is from shaytan, so we cannot imagine that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or any other of the al-anbiya wa rusul, the prophets and messengers, used to yawn. As for what the person is supposed to do when they sneeze, as far as the sound of their sneeze, many of the ulama said it's incumbent upon the atis, the sneezer, that he subdues his voice, and subdues the sound of the sneeze, and that he shouldn't raise it. And this is based on the hadith that is extracted by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, and also Abu Dawood, and also by At-Tirmidhi, and also Imam Al-Baghawi in his Sharh al-Sunnah, and also Al-Hakim. And At-Tirmidhi says the hadith is Hasan on Sahih, and Abu Dawood didn't comment on it. And also Sheikh Al-Albani says that it is Hasan Sahih in his Sahih At-Tirmidhi, that Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إذا عطس غطى وجهه بيده أو بثوبه وغض بها صوته, that when he used to sneeze, he would cover his face with his hand or his thawb, thereby subduing the sound of it. So in other words, like this, instead of hachu, right, he would cover his face with his hand or his thawb to subdue, to suppress, to make ghadd, make the ghadd of his of the saut, or the sound of his sneeze. Also, it is recommended by the ulama that when the sneezer sneezes, that he turns his neck or his face while he's sneezing. That he would be careful not to turn it to the right or the left, because he might send some bacteria out onto someone else and cause them to catch whatever he has. Lastly,
We'd like to say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's companions were, of course, the best of people after the prophets and messengers. And as we mentioned the other night, there are some narrations of which they used to make some ziyada, they used to augment, add some things to their hamd, or their responses from sneezing. One of them we gave from Abdullah ibn Abbas, and one Abu Hamza radiallahu anhu said, I heard Abdullah ibn Abbas saying, إذا شمت يقول عفانا الله وإياكم من النار يرحمكم الله. That when one of you, that when someone made the tashmid, he would say, or when he himself would make the tashmid, he would say, may Allah pardon us and give us well-being and you, and give us security from the hellfire. May Allah have mercy on you. And as we mentioned the other night, this is something that from the companions on ijtihad, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. And with that, inshallah, we're going to end it. If there's any questions about what we mentioned about the yawning or the sneezing, inshallah, we can entertain them now. If not, we can go. Inshallah. Naam. Fadl. The companion who said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to cover his entire face. The companion for that was... where are we? Look back here. I think we said it was... I think we said it was Abu Sa'id, I'm not sure. Was it Abu Sa'id? It was Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And the other one? When any of you... the one where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talks about shaitan entering. This one? This one is narrated by who would he say? Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu. No, it doesn't mention. I've never read anything where it says that you become possessed by the jinn or something like that. The shaitan goes inside of you. No, I don't know anything about this. Anyone else? Yeah, the ulama say that we shouldn't tell someone, we shouldn't remind someone. Yeah, this is a good point. This is a very good point, ahsanta. That when we have children, of course, then we're instructing them. And the proof that we would tell them to do this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's statement, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. O you who believe, save yourselves and your families from the fire. This will be the proof that you teach your children. As for the adults, we go back to the original position that the ulama have. But for the children, when they reach, when they're very young, we're teaching them to say Alhamdulillah. Yes, this is some of the ulama have mentioned this. This is a very good point. As far as what we say when we sneeze and yawn. I mean, sneezing and yawning itself is not ibadah in this. It's not ibadatul mahdha. It's not pure ibadah. It becomes ibadah if we respond in following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when we sneeze and praise Allah, and the person who praises Allah, and we respond to it. As for the kafir, of course, there's no ibadah for him or her. It's ibadah for us if we respond to him when he sneezes. The person who fakes yawning or fakes sneezing, Muslim. I would say that the people who fake yawning and fake sneezing, oh, you mean the parent who fakes a sneeze so that the child, so when they say Alhamdulillah, they can get the child to say Yarhamakallah. So the person is joking. He's not really actually sneezing. He fakes Well, what will be the purpose of the person doing it? I would say that if the person, this is my humble opinion, Wallahu tabarak wa ta'ala alam, that the person should not fake, the Muslim should not fake sneezing. The reason why, it would be because they would be simulated, it would be like tashabbuh bil yahud. In my humble estimation, it would be like imitating the Jews, because remember the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, كان اليهود يتعاطسون عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رجاء أن يقول لهم يرحمكم الله. That the Jews used to fake sneezing in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the hope that he would say يرحمكم الله. So if the Muslim fakes in a small way, they're imitating.